This message is one of the Times Square Church pulpit series. It was recorded in the sanctuary of Times Square Church in Manhattan, New York City. Other tapes are available by writing World Challenge, P.O. Box 260, Lindale, Texas, 75771, or calling 903-963-8626. You are welcome to make additional cassettes of this message for free distribution to friends. However, for all other forms of reproduction or electronic transmission, existing copyright laws apply.
Morning, Times Square Church. God bless you this morning. We'll keep you. Special greetings from Pastor David today, who's back on part B of his vacation with his wife, Gwen. And it was so good to have him back with us last Sunday and to hear the word that God's put on his heart. He was going to stay through it, actually, till this week, and then the Lord just gave him a release to go and to rest. You know, the Bible says that God gives his beloved rest. I thank him so much for that, for giving Pastor David that ability to just go and to rest and be rekindled, because the Lord is going to use him, I believe, much more powerfully in the coming few years than perhaps ever before. God is using him to touch the lives of ministers now throughout the world. And, of course, if you touch the life of a shepherd, you're multiplying your ministry by 1,000, perhaps, fold. So thank God for that. And if you have a child, as Pastor Neil's probably told you already, that begins to cry during the preaching of the word, please take your baby through exit 7, and then the staff there will look after your child. Please turn off cell phones, pagers, unless you're a doctor or emergency personnel. We'd appreciate that very much. The last year has been a very hard year for me, and most of you who attend this church know that. I've gone through a very, very difficult time physically, and 3 weeks ago, God touched me and healed me. I thank the Lord with all my heart for that. It wasn't a gradual thing. I was in a recording studio recording a song called When I Don't Understand, but In the Quiet Times, and it was in just in the course of that song that the Holy Spirit just came down and touched me and healed me. And it's been 3 weeks now, and it's wonderful to be able to breathe and to have energy again. Now, Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, for strength and for power. I thank you, Lord, that you have a word that you want to give to so many in this house today. And I thank you, God, that I can abandon myself into your hands, because it's not about me, it's all about you. I have only a little, but you can multiply it, and you can feed the thousands that will hear this message. I thank you, Jesus, for what you will accomplish and how your name will be glorified. In your mighty name, amen. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now, the disciples were at this particular point in Scripture in the midst of a terrible storm. And undoubtedly, there are always many opinions, and as there were, obviously, that day in that boat. There are always many voices in the storm. We are living in a society today that I believe is in a storm. People are trying to find out meanings and reasons for things that go on around about us. Why is society decaying the way it is? Why is there an increase of violence? Why is our economy seemingly teetering always on the brink of collapse? Why all of a sudden overnight, do our borders seem to be vulnerable to terrorism from without and from within? Why is there such a breakdown in family? Why am I not finding fulfillment in the things that I've set my hand to do? And even as a Christian, sometimes these same storms come into our lives and come into our hearts. And there are many voices. And those voices, the Scripture tells us, come from the Apostle Paul. Says at one time in his life in ministry, there were fears within and fightings without, or vice versa. And there are voices that come from within our own hearts even, as well as voices that come from the outside. So many opinions and so many claiming to represent God. And even in that boat that day, they had opinions about God. Verse 26 says, some cried out and said, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. God Almighty Himself is coming into the midst of the storm, and the men at this particular point are unfamiliar with the fullness of His ways and don't understand the things that He is doing in their midst. Apostle Paul warns the church that in the last days perilous times are going to come. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm just going to paraphrase this for you, verses 5 and 6. Paul warns that there will be a people who have a form of godliness, but it's without any power. And they creep into houses to lead others captive. I wonder sometimes if Paul in the Holy Ghost foresaw television and radio. It was foreign to him. And I wonder if his hearers really understood. But the Holy Spirit, you see, is not bound by the limitations of time. And the Holy Spirit can speak right through into eternity. For God is not bound by time as we are. Please, if you could lower this monitor, I'd very, very much appreciate that. Or take the treble off it. It would really help. A form of godliness without power, creeping into houses. In other words, claiming to represent God and going into the houses of people and even having a sense that they understand or know the ways of God and creeping into houses for the sole purpose of bringing others into the same captivity of powerlessness that they live in. They don't really know Him and His power. They don't know His victory. They don't understand His life. But yet they're on television or they're on radio and they're coming into people's houses and they're claiming to speak for God. And even more so, in times of storm and distress, beloved, we are undoubtedly, as a world in totality, entering into a time of storms, a season of great storms. And anyone who doesn't know that is just simply out of touch with reality. That's the only way I can say it. There is a release, as it is, of the very things that Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 24. Ethnic culture, ethnos rising against ethnos. You're seeing it all over the world now. Ethnic culture rising against ethnic culture. We're seeing that season of distress He spoke about. And more than any other time in history, it is so important now that you and I begin to know the voice of God. We have to know Jesus' voice. Jesus Himself said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 24 that many false prophets are going to arise and deceive many. Now He warns that they are going to attempt to point others to Himself, but they don't know Him and they don't even know where He can be found. He says in verse 26, if they say to you, behold, He's in the desert, go not forth. And behold, He's in the secret chambers, believe it not. If they come to you and say He's in Oklahoma, manifesting there, don't believe it. If they say He's doing this over there, don't believe it. Jesus said, you want to know why Jesus said that? He said, because I'm not in some other place. I never have been. I can be found right wherever you are. In whatever storm or situation you're in, that's where I am. I'm not limited. I'm not unipresent. I'm omnipresent. That means I'm not just, God says I'm not just in one place. Oh yes, God can do special things in certain places, in certain seasons. And beloved, people will hear the message that I'm preaching today. They will hear it all over the world. The tapes from this church go out into hundreds of thousands of different homes throughout the world. And there may be people that get a tape and say, I've got to go to Times Square Church to get a touch from God. You don't have to go to Times Square Church to get a touch from God. You can get a touch from God in your apartment. You can get a touch from God in the subway. You can be sitting at your desk in your place of employment in the middle of hell itself and you can get a touch from God. You can have your own personal revival in the midst of that storm. You can be sitting in a hospital beside the bed of someone you love who's sick or dying, and you can get a touch from God in that hospital room. You can be touched by Jesus. You can hear His voice and know His presence and His power right in the middle of your situation. Jesus didn't come and die for you to hide from you. It's so important to know that. And some people have a needle in a haystack theology. That's what I call it. He's here. He's there. As if he's hiding. And he appears in the world and goes peekaboo. And that his whole church would go running to try to find him. Folks, people who don't know God do that. People who don't know God run all over the world looking for signs and wonders and statues that bleed and things like that. Those are people that have no inward working of God. But you and I who know Him, we understand. You want to have revival? Find a couple of other people to pray with you. Find one other person. If you can't find anybody, the Holy Spirit Himself will come so that the Scripture that says where two or more are gathered, I am there. If you can't find another person, ask the Holy Spirit. Say, I'm all alone. There's nobody around that will pray with me. Holy Spirit, will you come? Will you come so that two or more will gather and pray? Will you come so that I can have revival right in the midst of my situation? Hallelujah. The writer of Hebrews said that Jesus said it this way. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. He said, it's level ground at Calvary. And irrespective of who it is, from what background, what education, what social state in life, whoever comes to me, he said, I'm going to, and trusts me for their salvation, I'm going to come in the form of the Holy Spirit and take up residence in their lives. And I'm going to write my nature upon them. The very essence, he said, it's as if God comes with a pen and begins to write things in the heart. Do this, don't go there. This is how I am. This is what I do. This is what I don't do. And he says, not only will I write it, but I'll give them the power to live it. It's amazing. It's amazing. The Bible says that when we're born again by the Spirit of God, the old things just simply have to go. Because something new and more powerful has come and taken up residence in our lives. And by virtue of His presence, we begin to change. He begins to teach us. This book opens and the Word of God comes to life. Absolute life. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. Jesus said to those who had lost touch with Him. And sometimes in the church it happens. We go through storms, trials. Or perhaps sometimes it's in the good times that we lose touch with Him even more than in the hard times. But He said to those who had lost touch with Him, He said, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and sup. That means I'll sit down with him and have a feast. And he with me. I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice. So important to know the voice of Jesus in the midst of your storm. The question, I guess, that we ask ourselves today is with so many voices, voices without, voices within that are claiming to speak for God, how can I know which voice belongs to the real Jesus? You ever gone to prayer and you get on your knees and you hear a voice right away? Of course, it's your own heart half the time claiming to speak for God. How dare you come into my presence? After the kind of a week that you've had, and you have the audacity to think that I'm going to receive you. This is the Lord speaking. You ever had that happen to you? Oh, yes, you have. Don't look at me like that. It may not have been quite those words, but that feeling in your heart, as if it's the, and our own heart, the Bible says, if our own heart condemn us, He is greater than our heart. And quite often when we think that we failed God and we try to come into His presence and our own heart will condemn us. How dare you? And try to masquerade itself as the voice of God. Telling us, how dare you come into my presence? You just heard what you just said to your husband, your wife, your children. What kind of a week you've had on the job. How dare you? And you see, it can be the devil too over your shoulder because he knows the mercy of God. You see, the devil's been around a long time. And he has seen over the years what happens when the weakest saint of God lays hold of the mercy of God and the power of God and rises up in that power. I'm always touched by the story of D.L. Moody. Many of you don't know his name, but he was a young man that was touched of God, and God used him as a great evangelist over much of the known world of his day many years ago. And I love the story of when he was a shoemaker's apprentice. And one day he was sitting outside the shop on a small park bench, and a friend came and sat, who was a Christian, sat next to him. He was only a teenager. He was illiterate. He could barely read or write. And the man sat next to him just made a statement and said, he said, "Dwight, the world has yet to see what God could do through a man who was fully surrendered to him, or a vessel who was fully surrendered to him." And he just made the statement and walked away. And he sat on that bench, and I read his autobiography, and he said, "By the grace of God, I shall be that man. By the grace of God, I shall be that man." And God raised him up, and he began to be used of God to bring revival to the known church that had fallen asleep, and to see multitudes, hundreds of thousands, without mass media, come into the kingdom of God. One of the most powerful preachers of his generation. A simple saint that just said, "By God's grace, I'm going to be yielded to the will of God. By God's grace, I'm going to let God do whatever He wants to do. I'm not going to be limited by my lack of education and inability to spell and all these other things. And what people have told me and what society tries to tell me, that there are limitations on what can happen through my life. I'm throwing that away. And by the grace of God," you see, he heard the voice of God. It's important to hear the voice of God. He heard God's voice through this man, and he laid hold of it. And the Holy Ghost gripped that faith and took a simple man, and he became a powerful, powerful preacher of the gospel. Hallelujah. He defied all tradition. The Holy Ghost did. He was in England one time, I believe. He was preaching the gospel there. And they very much were given to form in tradition. And they introduced him as the Honorable Reverend D.L. Moody. And they asked him when he came to the pulpit, "Would you please thank the Earl of Stratfordshire for his divine benevolence in providing the funds for this magnificent crusade that we're experiencing?" And D.L. Moody came up to the pulpit. He said, "Well, first of all," I said, "I have to correct a couple of things before I speak. First," he said, I'm not the Reverend anybody." He said, "I'm just plain old D.L. Moody." And secondly, he says, I don't see any reason why we should thank the Earl any more than he should thank us for being here today." And then he began to preach the gospel. Amazing. And thousands, thousands would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 26. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea," now this is the first time that Jesus speaks to them in the midst of their storm, "they were troubled and said, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." This is the first thing in the midst of your storm that you have to understand. When Jesus Christ comes to you, when it's His voice speaking to you, the voice of Jesus will always come to you offering you hope. Always. 100% of the time. He will not come to you to condemn you. He will come to you and offer you hope. I will prove this to you. Go to John chapter 3 with me for a moment. Just go right ahead in your Bible. John chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." He said, "I didn't come to condemn anybody. There is a day coming of justice. God's everlasting justice is coming. But," he said, "until that day, I have not come to condemn. I have come to save." He said to the men in the boat, "Be of good cheer and be not afraid." And the original translation means, "Take courage, be comforted. There is no cause for you to be terrified or to run away. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to run from me. I understand your weakness. I know that you fail me quite often. I know that your hearts are prone to giving away to your circumstance and to being overwhelmed by that which comes against you. The scripture says the wind was contrary. They were making no progress at all. They knew him. They had had fellowship with him. They had experienced some of his miracles. But yet now he comes walking in the midst of a storm. And perhaps deep in their hearts they had expected a rebuke. Perhaps they had expected something else. Maybe they were gripped by the sense of their failure. And that quite often happens when Christian people are in a storm. The enemy comes and sends the full force of hell against a man or woman who wants nothing more to do but to live for God. And in the midst of that storm, there's that sense of failure. That sense that when God comes and speaks to me, he's going to be upset with me. He's not going to receive me as I have known him just shortly before. But he said, no, the first words, be of good cheer. In the midst of your storm, you've got to be careful to understand that when Christ comes, he says, be comforted. You don't have to run away from me or be terrified. I am not your adversary. I have come to save you because I love you. I've come to give you strength. I've come to take you through the midst of your trial and your storm. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I've come that you might understand my power. I've come that it might be released in your life so that you now can tread upon the serpent and the scorpion and all the power of the enemy. And understand that the devil has no power to hurt your life. He has no power over your life. All he can do is try to make you feel as if somehow you're cut off from the mercy that I've come to give you. I think of the tomb in Matthew chapter 9, or 28 rather, when the two Marys came to the tomb and they didn't find him, only a keeper there. And the keeper told them that he's not here, he's alive. And as they went to tell the disciples, Jesus met them. And the very first thing he said to them, all hail, translated means rejoice and be glad. And then he said, be not afraid. The very same words he said to the disciples, really, on the water. Rejoice with me and be not afraid. In other words, you don't have to run away. You don't have to be terrified. A marvelous victory has been won. And by grace, I've now invited you into that victory. In Luke chapter 24, the disciples were assembled together. They were terrified in the midst of a horrific storm. The Savior that they had trusted in had been crucified. He was gone out of their sight. The only testimony they had at that point that there was any life or hope were the two men from Emmaus Road that were among them and trying to tell them what had happened when they had broken bread with this stranger on this particular road they were traveling on. And at that particular time, the scripture says Jesus came and appeared to them. And the very first thing he said when he came into the room, now, these are his disciples. And they had fled. They had fled. Now, you got to understand, Peter had cursed himself with an oath, basically saying, I've never known the man. I don't know who you're talking about. I've never met him. I have no knowledge of him whatsoever. John the Beloved had fled. Oh, they'd all run. They'd all abandoned him. They had failed him in Gethsemane. They had failed him at the cross. There were so few other than John, really the Beloved, that was standing there with his mother. The rest were all at a distance. They'd all run. He walks into the room, and all he says to them when he greets them is, peace be unto you. And the word peace in the original Greek text means a state of untroubled or undisturbed well-being. Isn't that marvelous? The voice of Jesus in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the failure. He says, don't be troubled and be undisturbed. Don't let your well-being be taken away from you, even by your own sense of having failed me. You remember the Apostle Paul? I love this story. If you go there to the book of Acts chapter 27. The Apostle Paul, in the midst of the storm, when they're throwing everything off the ship, and everyone is terrified. I love this, because you have to have God in your life to even envision how this could even happen. Everyone is terrified. They're throwing the tackling off the ship. They're throwing the provision for the future off the ship. Everyone is abandoning ship. And you know, that very well could happen. The Enron scandal, the recent Enron scandal, could quite rapidly spread to many other sectors of our society. You may see a lot of people bailing out very shortly. Throwing everything overboard, throwing over their own tackling, their own trust, and even their own sense of getting out of the difficulty that had come upon them. And in the midst of it all, a man that history says was just a short little guy with a rather large nose. I mean, whether or not it's true or not, that's what history says. And he stands in the middle of the ship in Acts 27:22, And what does he say? Now, this is a man speaking for God. He says, be of good cheer. You imagine they can hardly hear his voice for the storm. The waves are crashing over the ship. They're hanging onto the ropes and the rails, whatever's left. They're half seasick. They're fearing for their lives. And here comes Paul. He's been shut away down in some little closet corner of the ship. And Paul comes out as a prisoner. I mean, if anybody shouldn't be in a good mood, because normally prisoners would be killed. If a ship was going to go down, they would kill all of the prisoners so they wouldn't escape. Because a centurion who let his prisoners escape would have to give life for life before his commander. So it's very rare, if ever, that the prisoners would be allowed to go free. And Paul, who's in this situation, he's been in the hold of a ship. And you know that the facilities would not be very good there. No chance for a shower or anything like that for days on end. Everyone is sick and the ship is tossed. And I see little Paul coming, standing in the middle of the deck. I'd like to be like that. I'd like to be like that in the midst of the storm. I don't know about you. And Paul just says, be of good cheer. He said, there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but the ship is going to be lost. Yeah, the ship is going to go down, Paul says. But nobody's life is going to be lost. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Remember? What does God speak? What are the things that he speaks? He says, be of good cheer and fear not. This is what the messenger of God said to Paul. He's bringing the words of the Lord. Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, he says, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Now, Paul was just reporting what God had already spoken to him. Now, when you begin to hear his voice, now know this, that you will soon be brought to a place where in his strength, the storm no longer has the mastery over your life. And that's exactly where the voice of God will take you. Paul's saying, yes, the storm appears to have the mastery, but I have laid hold of someone who lives above the storm. And that voice of God that has come to me is faithful. God has never failed me, Paul is saying to those on the ship. And he has given me a promise that has put good cheer in my heart, and I'm bringing it to you now. We're going to lose the ship, but it doesn't matter. Everyone's life is going to be spared. So be of good cheer. Because God's messenger stood with me this night and told me not to fear, so therefore I'm telling you not to fear. Incredible. His voice will always bring you to that place of calm. That place of undisturbed trust in the midst of your storm. Back in Matthew chapter 14 again. Verse 28, right after Jesus spoke. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And the second thing that Jesus said, one word, come. The voice of Jesus Christ offers an open invitation for you and I to join him where he walks in victory over our circumstances. A simple word. I want you to be at rest, at peace, he said. Be of good cheer and don't be afraid. And once confidence in our hearts is established that we are hearing from God. And that God's voice is going to lift us out of the storm, that he gives the invitation. Come. What an incredible invitation that is. The Jewish people were having a religious feast, and there was a lot of noise and a lot of celebration. And religious feasts are infamous for that, irrespective of what particular church people may attend. But the Bible says in the book of John chapter 7, on the great day, the last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. It's almost as if in the heart of God, he's saying, okay, everybody that's had their belly full of religion, everybody that has been a participant in all the traditions of coming to my house and celebrating all the celebrations and remembrances and washings and commandments and ordinances, and you are thirsty. And he gives the invitation at the end of all the religious exercise. He says, if anyone among you thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. He said, if you're thirsty, come. If church attendance has not done it for you, then leave it and come to me. Come to me that you might have life. Come to me, he says, and I'll give you something that no amount of exterior ceremony will ever provide for you. I will pour my very life into you, and there will be such an abundance that it will literally flow out of you. You won't be able to contain it. It will be like a mighty river. It will flow because it will be such life that you can't contain it within your earthly vessel. In another season of ministry and preaching, he looked upon the crowd, and again he gives the invitation. He said, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, burdened down, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew 9:13, if you're sin sick, he says, I've not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call the sinners to repentance. If you are sin sick, Jesus says, come to me. If you're weary of the bondage, if you're weary of the oppression, if you're weary of the chains of the slavery that comes with sin, he says, come to me and I will set you free and I'll give you life. To the rich young ruler, he gave an invitation. And he said, if you want something worth living for, come to me. Sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And he said, and come and follow me. Come and follow me. Incredible. Oh God, if this is you, bid me come. I heard that voice about 22, 23 years ago. I heard it in May 1978 when I first came to Christ. When I was told that I could have a new life, my sins could be washed away, that God could give me a brand new life, that He would use my life for His glory. I pulled over on the side of the road, 3:10 in the afternoon, on May the 12th, in my uniform as a police officer heading to work. And I prayed a simple prayer because I heard an invitation. I said, Lord Jesus, if what Irv, that was the Christian policeman that was sharing Christ with me, his name was Irv, and I said, if what Irv has told me is the truth, if there really is an invitation for me, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want you to come into my life. Hallelujah. Peter said, God, if it's you, bid me come. You know my story. Many of you attend this church that I was bound by fear. I suffered panic attacks from the time that I was 15 years of age till I was 24. I had to take Valium to attend classes in school so that I could go into a room full of people. If I was so sick, I was so bound by fear that if I was singled out in a room full of people, I would begin to panic, especially if they asked me to say something. And I would have two choices, either run out of the room or have a panic attack. 3 times, panic attacks put me in the hospital. 1 time, it could have been very fairly serious. I remember starting to attend the church, and I heard a message that with God all things are possible. I heard that there's nothing that Jesus can't do. There's nobody He can't take. There's nowhere you can't go. If you're willing to yield your life to God, God can take you. Oh, folks, I was in a horrible storm. If anybody suffers panic attacks, you know the hell on earth that is. It was a horrible, terrible storm that I lived in for a season. Oh, yes, there were weeks or months of seeming normalcy. But then without warning, these things would come upon me again. But I heard an invitation. And like Peter, he said, oh, God, if it's you, it seems like it's impossible. You're asking me to walk on water. And you have to understand where I was looking from in those days, speaking to a crowd of people was an impossibility. I might as well have been asked to walk on water. But I said, oh, God, if it's you, speaking to me, bid me come. I'll go. I'll step out of the boat. I don't want to live my life in the boat. I don't want to live my life bound by fear, trying always to row against the storm and being victimized by circumstance. I want to live above it, God. I want to walk where you're walking, Jesus. I hear that you walk above the storm. I hear that you walk on the very circumstances that threaten to swallow me. And I want to walk there. I have nothing in particular to offer God, just a heart that responded to an invitation. No different than Peter, the bumbling, stumbling fisherman who's always sticking his foot in his mouth at the wrong time. But I heard in my heart something. I heard the voice of Jesus. bidding me to come and experience life. Life to come and live in the miraculous. Come and begin to walk in a place where few walk. 11 were in the boat, folks. They never got out. And many people even who attend church never get out. They live in the boat. And week to week it's just rowing, rowing, rowing. And every Sunday it's just, come and just encourage me in my struggle. Encourage me in my rowing. And Jesus says, that's not where I called you to live. I called you to walk with me above your circumstance. Amazing what God can do. Amazing grace, John Newton said. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but thank God I'm found. Thank God. Hallelujah. I was blind, but now I see. Paul said, oh, to the Ephesian church, that your eyes would be opened. Oh, that you would understand that Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of all power and authority. That He is the fullness, the one who fills all in all. He is the head of the church. That you would see the exceeding power of His might and glory. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, folks, I felt like Peter when I first stepped out. I responded to God and I began to speak to little groups of people as the Lord. You don't understand the step of faith this was. When I was first asked by the Holy Ghost, when I first responded and said, Lord, I give you all I've got. I haven't got much. I've got less than the little boy who had a lunch that you took and fed over 5,000 men and women and children with. I've got less than he had. But what I have, I give you. And God, I'm hearing something. You see, you can't hear it with your ears. You've got to hear it in your heart. It has to go beyond your ears. There's got to be something that causes you to step out and defy gravity as it is. And I began to hear it and began to step out, little groups of people. And the Lord is always gracious. He doesn't put you before a crowd day one, folks. It's one and two and three and four. Little groups of people. And I remember I would be sick. I'd have to speak before a dozen people. I would be sick. I would be sick, 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 sick. Right up to the moment when I had to stand and begin to speak. And the devil is right at my doorstep saying, you can't do it. You're going to sink. It's not going to work. All of hell would come against me. But I would step out on the water in faith. And within just a few minutes, the power of the Holy Ghost would come upon my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I would forget that I'm standing on water. And people would begin to, you'd see the tears in many cases start to come, and simply because there was a surrendered vessel there. Nothing special, no ability beyond anybody else. In fact, I believe I was coming from farther back than most of you are living here today in this sanctuary. The scripture says, when they came into the ship, the wind ceased. Gospel of Mark, the writer Mark says, talking about another storm, says, Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And Matthew 14:33 says that they were in the ship, came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. They began to worship him. Go to Psalm 29, please. I'm going to close with this today. They worshipped when the storm ceased and a calm came. They said, you are the Son of God, for only God could speak to these things and cause their mastery to cease. Psalm 29, verse 1 says, give to the Lord, O ye mighty. Give to the Lord glory and strength. And I see that verse in a particular way. The mighty, I believe that David, the psalmist, is speaking about is those that God has given, He's planted might in you. Give Him glory. And bring back to Him a report of the strength that He's given you. Praise Him for what He's done in your life. Glorify Him. Raise your hands. Folks, you've never known praise until you begin to live in the miraculous. When you begin to live where God takes you where you can't go, then you have a reason to raise your hands. You have a reason to sing to Him. There's an expectancy. That song that I've shared with you so many times that says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. It's like, God, You brought me here to this place. I can hardly wait till tomorrow. I can hardly wait to see what You're going to do. I know I have no power. I know there's nothing in me of myself, but Your life is now in me. And there's no limitation to where You can take our lives and what You can do with us and through us. Give Him glory and give Him strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name, verse 2, and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You see, by the power of His Holy Spirit, He gives us the power to live lives that bring honor to His name. He gives us the power to have the victory over sin that so easily besets us and wants to carry us away from the will of God. The voice of the Lord, David says. See, David is a man who heard God's voice. The voice of the Lord, he said, is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon many waters. In other words, he's saying that the Lord's voice is more powerful than many troubles. Than all storms, places of impossibility and difficulties that will ever encounter us, there is a voice beyond every other voice. And the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. He rises above the waters. He walks on the water. He leads His people into the victory that He Himself has entered into when He rose from the dead. The voice of the Lord, verse 4, is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The chief priests and Pharisees sent officers to arrest Jesus Christ. And they came back to the priests and Pharisees empty-handed. And they said to them, why have you not brought Him? Why did you not take Him? And the men stood there and said, never a man spoke like this man. Never. I mean, it's like they went in to get Him. They had a purpose and they heard His voice. And they couldn't move. They said, we've never ever heard a man speak like this man. Of course they haven't, because He wasn't only a man. He was fully God. Verse 5 says, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. You know, let me paraphrase that for you. The voice of the Lord breaks the hard places and brings us into new life. New life. The hard places. Those areas that hell itself and the human heart says will never change. God says, no, if you will hear my voice, I will break those hard places. And I will bring you into joy. Like a young calf released from a stall. Most of you have never lived next to a farm, that's for sure, here in New York City. But I lived next to a dairy farm, and I've seen young calves released from the stall, and I've watched them leap and dance through the fields. And that's what he says. They leap and they bound and they jump and they spend the next few days just doing that for the incredible freedom. They've been locked up, they've been penned up with their mother, and all of a sudden they're let out for the first time into freedom. And they're free from the confines around them, and they leap and they jump and they dance. You saw Pastor Patrick do that during worship today. The voice of the Lord, verse 7, divides the flames of fire. God says, I'll not necessarily take you out of your circumstance, but I will bring you through. If you'll hear my voice, I'll make a way through the impossible for you. The voice of the Lord, verse 8, shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of God breaks the power of barrenness. And this forever wandering in dry places. When we begin to hear His voice, all of these things begin to break. Verse 9, he says, the voice of the Lord makes the hinds the calf. In other words, brings life. And discovers the forests. The voice of the Lord reveals things to us that were previously hidden. Shows us His mercy. And makes for our feet a plain pathway through places that before we couldn't see. We didn't know how to get through, but God's voice takes us through. And in His temple does everyone speak of His glory. The voice of God produces an awe in His people. They speak because they partake of His life. They speak of His glory. Where God's people are, there is a testimony. Let me tell you what God is doing in my life. Let me tell you where He has taken me from. Let me tell you where He is taking me to. In His temple, everyone speaks of His glory. Verse 10 says, the Lord sits upon the flood. The Lord is King forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people, and the Lord will bless His people with peace. Be still and know that I am God. Now go back to Matthew 14. Let's close there. There's one last thing the voice of the Lord will do. One more thing. Verse 31. He said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He was saying to not only Peter, but everyone else in the boat, you have heard my voice. And when we've heard his voice, he will come and challenge everything that separates us from his life. And that life being manifested in us. He will challenge us very lovingly, very kindly. If you are harboring sin in your life, he will come and tell you why things are not well. He will tell you why you're not experiencing victory. He will challenge everything in you that is unlike him, that is separating you from his life. He will challenge it not because he delights in pointing his finger at people. He will challenge it because he delights in giving life to those that are his. He'll say, I want to talk to you about why you're sinking in your storm. You're sinking because of the things perhaps you're listening to. You're sinking because of what you're reading. You're sinking because of improper financial dealings. You're sinking because of that immoral relationship that you're involved in. You're sinking because you don't seek me anymore. And he will point it out because when you go through the scriptures, it is inarguable that it's God's desire and design to give life to those of us that he has created. Humanity that he's created in his own image. His desire, his intent from before the foundation of the world was to redeem a people and give us life. Now, if we really have to ask ourselves, whose voice are we listening to in the storm? And if things are not well today between you and God, would you like that to change today? God says, you've heard my voice. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. If, listen to me, education annex, balcony, every room. If you are hearing God's voice today, something in you is saying, come. You're looking now at an area of weakness, inability, where you're not living in victory. You have a besetting sin in your life. Something is separating you from the life of God. Or perhaps you are living right, but the Holy Spirit has been calling you into a place that it's like, God, you better have another look in the heaven's phone book. You've got the wrong number here. Me? Africa? Me? Malaysia? Me? Australia? Me? My neighborhood? But God, they know what I used to be like. They won't listen to me. It'll be a storm. I'll set out in my neighborhood to live for you, and it'll be a storm. And Jesus stands above the storm and says, come. Come. Oh God, if it's you, bid me come. God, if it's you, bid me come. I can tell you only one thing that I've done that I feel is right over the years of walking with God. When he invited me, I accepted the invitation. And he has never failed me. And he will never fail you. He will keep you. Use you for his glory. Give you his life. Oh God, let that be in your heart right now. God, if you're speaking to me, this looks so impossible. But if it's your voice, bid me come. And he immediately said, come. Now, Father, You know, Holy Spirit, the work that you are doing in the people who have gathered in this house today. I don't want anyone to move because they are compelled by anything that is not of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, you know what you are speaking to every heart. There are 2,000-3,000 people here today, but you are speaking to every heart individually. You are not limited. There are things you want to do in every life. Places you want to take every one of us. Strengths you want to release. Victories you want to give us. You stand on top of our impossible places with an invitation. Come. And today, I'm asking that you give grace to those that you're speaking to leave these places of powerlessness and to come and join you by faith in your victory. I ask this in Jesus' name. We're going to stand together in a moment, and when we do, if the Holy Spirit is drawing you and speaking to your heart, would you feel free to join me at this altar. In the education annex, you can go forward, perhaps between the screens, and we'll pray together momentarily. As the orchestra comes and leads us in a song, let's all stand together. Balcony, you can go to either aisle. Main sanctuary, you can slip out. God bless you. I want to ask this morning before we pray, if there's anybody here this morning that could say, Pastor Carter, I'd love to walk in victory, but I'm not even a Christian. I've never given my life to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never till this day understood that He came and died on a cross to pay the price for my sins. I've never understood that salvation is not a religion. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And today I want to turn from my sin. I want to repent. I want to give my life to Christ, to trust you, Jesus, for my salvation, and from this day forward to believe that you will take me and use my life for your glory. If that's you today, I want to ask you to unashamedly, balcony, annex, anywhere in this sanctuary and at the altar, to join me and raise your hand right now. Do it. Nice and high. God bless you. Raise your hand up. All through the sanctuary. Those who want to receive Christ as your Savior. Keep it up. Keep it up. It'll encourage others who are in that valley of decision right now. I want Christ. God bless you. All up in the balcony and throughout. Now let's all pray together for those that are going to make the most important decision of their entire life right now. To give their lives to Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I thank you today that you came to the earth. God became a man and paid the price for my sin by dying on a cross, giving your life that I might be set free from the power of sin and have an assurance in my heart that when I die, I am going to heaven to live with God. Forever. Today, I acknowledge my sin. Jesus, I accept your offer to me of forgiveness and eternal life. And today, I open my heart. I invite you in to be my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to give your life for me. Today, by faith, I receive your salvation and I return thanks to you by giving my life to you. I ask you now, from this day forward, to teach me and lead me and guide me. Help me to understand your word and to understand how, by your power, I can live a new life that brings honor and glory to you. I believe that you are the Son of God, died for my sins, and rose from the grave as proof that my confidence in you is not in vain. I trust you for my salvation and for everlasting life. And I believe at this very moment I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. Hallelujah. We have new believers classes every Friday night for those that have prayed that prayer and you've really meant it. And now for the rest, are you willing to trust God for your life, for your circumstance? The greatest truth I ever learned next to my salvation is that God is not limited by my inability. He's only limited by my unbelief. That's all that limits Him. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, help me. I've heard your voice. And I want to go into that place where you are calling me. That's a place of life. And it's a place of victory. I believe it. And I'm believing this day that you are giving me the courage to step out of my storm and to grab hold of you, that you will keep me, you will strengthen me, and you will walk with me. You will bring peace and calm to my life in the midst of my circumstance. I ask today that through my life, you might be honored and you might be glorified. Lead me, guide me, and empower me. I believe today you will never fail me and you will never forsake me because you are God. Hallelujah. 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 You should be happy. You should be happy. I know it's an awesome thing when God begins to speak to your heart. It's going to be wonderful when we get to heaven. I'm looking at your faces here at this altar and find out where you ended up in this world. It's going to be awesome. Look me up. I'll be on Golden Avenue just down from the throne. Look me up. When we all get to heaven.
This is the conclusion of the message.